Hello, folks. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips for you from Ken Melender down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we talk ice fishing with Northern Minnesota pro angler Nick Lender. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Find your perfect Can-Am ATV or side-by-side at Hayward Power Sports. The all-new 2023 Can-Am Outlander ATVs were redesigned with the rider in mind for unmatched fun and value. Hit the woods or trails with models starting at $5,999. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of a $500 rebate or 2.99% financing on select models. Looking for a side-by-side? The Can-Am Defender is the perfect utility side-by-side that's extra tough on the worksite, the ranch, or wherever you need to get the job done. Feel the adrenaline surge in the high-performance Can-Am Maverick, or get the best of work and play with the ultimate crossover, the Can-Am Commander. Claim the side-by-sides that fit your needs today and enjoy financing as low as 1.99% for 36 months on select models. Make every hunt a success, every trail ride an excitement-filled adventure, and make light work of your heavy-duty jobs, all with a brand-new Can-Am off-road vehicle from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Today, anglers fish longer. Today, anglers fish harder. Today, anglers rely more than ever on their electronics. It all comes down to catching more fish, and today, anglers rely on Amped Outdoors lithium batteries, period. Visit ampedoutdoors.com today to power your outdoor experience.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and you know what? I guess I'm hearing some reports the guys are getting out ice fishing, Ken.
Yeah, anywhere is from 0 to 3.5, 4 inches on, you know, some of the smaller bays and small lakes.
You bet. Well, you know, and we've had some good conditions for making ice. I mean, we didn't have that snow. We just got a little dusting of snow. Most of that blew off the ice right away. We're still making ice.
Yeah, we had some pretty cold temps.
And you haven't had no reports yet as we're probably talking here, because we're just into the just out of the gun deer season, and now the muzzleloader season going on as we're recording this. You know, as far as the deer season, it doesn't sound like a whole lot of deer action out there. A lot of guys getting their deer.
Opening weekend, it was really good for, you know, the bucks on their feet moving because the rut was still going on. But it seems like after that, it got really, really tough. But it seems this year that a lot of the deer weren't on the ridges. They weren't on the oaks like they usually are. And I think it's because the buck-doe ratio, maybe a little more bucks, and the deer just getting chased around too much, so they're just, you know, hiding a little low.
Well, back to talking about the ice fishing, Ken, and now that we've got some ice and we've been making ice, what are most of the guys going to be heading out after? Mostly walleyes, I think, right away?
Well, most of the walleyes are going to be in the deeper water basins, so I think it's going to be northern and panfish to start out with. Then, you know, there's some guys buying walleye suckers, so they must have a little secret spot where the walleyes are a little bit shallower than, you know, normal.
Well, and that all has to do with the lake, too, because if your lake has an average depth of, you know, deep water, say 40, 50 feet, the walleye's going to be a lot deeper, and the water ice is not going to be as good out there. As we're recording this, there are lakes that still aren't froze up, some of the big lakes, but the smaller lakes, if you got a lake that maybe maximum depth is 18, 20 feet, it's got walleyes in it, they could well be in an area that you can get to.
Exactly. It's all conducive to the weed growth and the water clarity, too. It's like some of the lakes, even all summer, the walleyes are on the weed lines in 8, 9 feet.
You know, and the other thing, too, to keep in mind, a lot of guys tend to don't know this, but Noise is a big factor. You just walking across the ice, these fish have been kind of left alone for a couple of weeks, no boat traffic or anything. They can be pretty spooky out there.
Yeah, I have a really good spot on Lacouturay. If I don't have my holes drilled by 3 o'clock, I'm not going to catch anything. So the holes are drilled prior to the fish's arrival, and then the witching hour, you know, at 15 minutes before dark, you know, the flags will go like crazy for like 25 minutes.
You know, and I see people out there that just constantly drilling holes. They'll go out, they're not catching the fish in that hole, they drill another hole and drill another hole, and they're just basically, a lot of times, if they're shallow enough, they're chasing fish out. And I've seen them react negatively to noise in 18, 20 feet of water.
In some instances, you know, especially with live scope, you know, they'll see them over there and you go drill over there and then they're not there and then you go drill over there. You know, just like go back old school, like, you know, when you're hunting panfish on a weed line, grid yourself a pattern when you get there and go hole to hole. But now with live scope, you got to go 100 feet or more in a grid pattern. And just be careful not to put them next to snowmobile runs, because they can cause accidents once the holes freeze over.
You know, and ice safety, let's touch about that real quick here. Safety is a real big factor right now. Guys will get out there on, right now we've got reports of a couple, 2-3 inches of ice, and the ice is never consistent. You can have areas where it's maybe 2-3 inches and go just a matter of a few feet and have an inch of ice.
Yeah, for instance, when I was a youngster up on Warroad, I had 4 inches of ice, but the water table had dropped. And we have a pretty aggressive water basin here. You know, every lake has some sort of current in it. So if that water drops and you have an inch of air pocket, it's like having 1 inch of ice. So you have to be careful. I'd recommend float suits for those guys that are early outings. And then a spud bar and some ice picks.
Well, you know, as far as equipment and gear, you guys are all geared up for the ice fishing season right now, as well as the late archery season, too.
Yep, we've done pretty well with archery. We got the new Matthews in and sold one already, and we still have a pretty good inventory for you guys that want a late hunt.
A lot of nice ice shacks and ice fishing gear, too.
Yes, we do.
Thanks, Ken, for taking the time here.
Well, good luck to all you outdoors persons.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking ice fishing with pro angler Nick Linder. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Get the deal of a lifetime on a new Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Truth is, our 2023s arrived late and we missed out on early season sales. So we have a huge inventory of them, but desperately need to make room for the 2024s. It's the perfect storm for incredible deals. From the entry-level Lund Adventure to the awesome Lund Impact XS and everything in between. They're all rigged with Mercury outboards and offered at blowout prices. Get your new Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, now that we're finally starting to get ice over on our lakes and ice fishing is starting to get underway, on this week's show, we're talking with Northern Minnesota pro angler Nick Linder about ice fishing. We're talking to a pro fisherman, Nick Linder, from over in Minnesota. Good to have you on the show, Nick. It's been for a while since I had you on here.
Yeah, no, it's great to be back on. Good to be chatting with you and just getting excited for the ice season here. It won't be too long here in theory.
You know, we're talking about ice fishing. I mean, there's, you know, ice fishing shows underway now and coming up. A lot of new stuff out there this year. And, you know, I mean, you're right in the middle of that. You see a lot of that stuff that before I ever see it even. And there's quite a bit of stuff keeps coming out every year, doesn't there?
Yeah, no, there really is. You know, there's every company has a bunch of stuff, right? And sometimes they're just trying to fill in like different categories, you know, that they might not have had before. Or they're coming out with things that are, you know, it might be a different category, but it, you know, is something that's unique, which is always kind of fun to see. But yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff, and there's always lures, of course, right?
Yep.
But then also, like, the electronics game has changed so much, so there's always stuff to be playing with, and you got to guard your paycheck a little bit because it can be dangerous.
You bet.
Yeah, there's always fun stuff.
Well, you know, a couple of the biggest things out there, you know, when it comes to electronics has been the lithium battery thing, and then the other thing has been forward facing sonar, whether it's Hummingbird Mega Live or Live Scope or the Lowrance unit. But it's that sonar is kind of a mixed feeling out there. There's guys out there that are screaming we should outlaw it, and there's people that love this stuff.
Yeah, no, it is very interesting, and I would say I actually understand all of the perspectives quite a bit. So it's, to me, what I really like about it is just the fact that you learn a lot from using it because you can see, you have a better picture of what's happening below the ice. And, you know, I'm sure some folks, you know, feel like their hard-earned time and experience and networking and whatever to learn all the things they did. And now folks can just use forward-facing sonar to learn a lot of the stuff that might have took them 5, 10, 20 years or more to learn. And I think that's a valid argument. But another thing I would say too is, for me, like, in addition to what you can learn, I really think it's a lot of fun. So I've had a lot of discussions. So if you're talking about like panfish, like crappies and stuff, I think that it can be a pretty almost like devastatingly powerful tool to find them and get on top of them and catch a lot of them. But I think it's less devastatingly effective for walleyes. So obviously it does help some, but it's not as crazy as like the crappies. But with the walleyes, like, there's some days, like, maybe like for us, we'll be going up to Red Lake on early ice, and I don't think that someone with forward facing sonar is going to for sure catch more fish than someone with a flasher. And if you caught 10 fish with a flasher, it's not like you'd have caught 20 with forward facing sonar. You know, you might have just caught 10, or maybe you'd have caught one or two more fish because you'd have coming higher in the water column, you know, and maybe you would have missed those fish with flashers. So it's a tool, and to me it does make it more fun to see a little bit more down.
I agree with you 100% on that, and I've maintained that, you know, there's a few guys out there that are going to abuse any technology or any advantage they can have, and some are using it for like catching muskies out of deep water they shouldn't be catching them out of, and you guys that are over bagging on panfish, but that's an angler ethic thing. That is not an equipment thing. We can't blame the equipment for that. We can blame the anglers, and I think it comes down to, you know, things like people need to be more cognizant of, you know, selective harvest out there, and how many fish do you really need? You know, that's the biggest issue, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, there's some ethical thoughts where, you know, folks are unethical. It gives them a tool that might be able to, that they might be able to exploit. But yeah, I mean, you pretty much nailed it right on top of the head. You know, I think panfish over harvest is a very big one. Crappies especially are very, very vulnerable, especially when they're floating around in, you know, the basin or whatever. And muskies is like a very, very hot topic because muskies are really big and they're very easy to see on forward facing sonar. And unlike bass and walleyes and panfish, you know, those fish can kind of swim away and sort of get away from you, and not because they're so fast, but because, you know, they might, you know, you could lose them in theory on the screen. Muskies you don't lose, and muskies don't swim away. Muskies live, and they're not afraid of anybody. So yeah, there's ethical concerns, you know, to how you could target fish with them. So that's always something to consider too.
Well, you know, a lot of guys go after, they want the biggest crappie they can get. But, you know, the more plentiful fish are the smaller of the fish, and the less plentiful are the bigger of the fish out there. And it took a lot of years for those to get that big. You know, if you go out and get a limit of 12, 14, 15-inch crappies in a lake, you know, you can be taking, you know, well over 100 years of fish growth out of that lake because it takes years to grow these fish, 10 to 20 years sometimes.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I would say, I mean, personally, I'm not keeping those fish. But, like, if you feel like you really want to keep that fish, like, just know that you don't have to keep a ton. You know, you could just keep a few or whatever. If you're going to keep a larger, you know, 13-plus-inch fish, like, you know, that would be my recommendation. But I also don't think that I wouldn't recommend harvesting those fish personally because those are the biggest fish or, you know, some of the bigger fish in kind of, like, the system as far as that species goes. And it's just better to keep larger fish in the system for, well, there's a lot of,
you know,
there's a lot of biological reasons.
The odds of them getting that big are pretty slim.
Yeah, no doubt. And yeah, a big issue with the whole deal is the fact that, you know, the crappies don't always have like super good spawns every year too. So, you know, if you've got a good class that's coming up and like if you've got a really good class of like 11 inchers or something in the system too, just to be cognizant of the fact that, man, you could have really, really good fishing in, you know, a year or two if you just don't, you know, beat those fish up.
You bet.
But yeah, it's hard to get everybody together and decide that that's a good idea. Unfortunately, it's just, you know, there's at least, I know where you live for sure. And also where we live, I mean, there's just a lot of fishing pressure and a lot of harvest pressure on those fish.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that first ice walleye stuff. You know, over here, a lot of guys get chomping at the bit to get out there as soon as they can on first ice. And, of course, you better be safe when you go out there. But the walleye thing, I mean, for some reason, the walleye seem to be pretty active after that first ice, no matter where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, that's... So for me, like what I like to do is, so sometimes I'll go for panfish because you can go on teeny tiny little lakes that freeze early and whatever. But as soon as I can get on any walleye lakes, I want to do it because there's two really, really good times to target walleyes in like through the ice. And that's very early ice and very late ice. And in the state of Minnesota here where I live, we can't target them on late ice. So early ice is sort of the king. So, and that's anywhere you go, early ice walleyes, they're going to be the most active. Like that's your best chance of going out there and catching 20, 30 plus fish. So yeah, I mean, the nice thing is you can get out there and you don't often have to get way out into the lake or early ice walleye areas. So be safe. Obviously this is like, it's usually a walking situation. If there's enough ice, you might be able to take a snowmobiler or a four wheeler or something like that, but you don't have to venture too far out there. And a lot of times for me, it's just walking out with a spud bar and making sure I have some sort of flotation with me and a buddy, of course, at least one buddy going out there with you, and ropes and all kinds of stuff to just stay safe out there. Ice picks are always a big one, too, if you do happen to fall through the ice. So
I know a lot of guys fish with tip-ups over here, and, you know, because you're in shallow water, those fish do get pretty spooky. Any noise, especially on thinner ice. You guys over there were a lot of times fish with a jig rod, though, even in that shallow water situations.
Oh, definitely. No, my thought process with it is I like to always utilize as many lines as I can. But you made a very good point, like as it pertains to like early ice and thinner ice like that, and shallow water, those fish are going to be very spooky. So if you can get some tip ups set up kind of out away from where you're going to be, kind of, you know, shuffling your legs and walking around, because the fish will push away from those areas. So getting set lines set up away from you is important. And I mean, we're in Minnesota, we only get two lines. So, you know, I might jig in one hole, and then I might set up, you know, tip ups or whatever further away from me. But as there gets to be more ice, one thing that I really like to do is, I like to jig in one hole and then I like to put a dead stick right next to me. So sometimes you'll attract those fish with your active jigging presence, cadence, you know, whether that's like with a spoon or a rattle bait or something like that. And then sometimes they'll come in and look at you, and then they'll say, "Ooh, what's this minnow doing over here?" And they'll take a bite of your dead stick. So that's kind of, that's what I like to do. I mean, over in Wisconsin, you could do both at the same time, right? You could have the dead stick right next to you, and you could have tip-ups further away, and you could actively jig next to your dead stick there.
Yep, three lines. Yep.
Yeah, so that would be like my favorite recipe if I was over there fishing.
Well, folks, you know we need to take another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the rest of that talk we had with pro angler Nick Lindner. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
Hayward Animal Hospital is a full-service medical and surgical hospital featuring on-site laboratory, digital and dental x-ray, in-house pharmacy, and online store. Dr. Ostrander has 40 years of experience dealing with illnesses, injuries, surgery, and dentistry. Hayward Animal Hospital offers urgent care appointments and emergency surgery daily. Please call early in the day for these appointments. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with pro angler Nick Lindner.
I think sometimes the biggest mistake people make is they assume that because that cold water, the fish are going to be real lethargic and you got to have almost a dead stick type presentation. But they can be pretty, they're cold blooded. They adapt to whatever temperature is out there and they'll come in and smack things like a pretty active jig and wrap or a jig and spoon or a puppet minnow. One of my favorite baits is a puppet minnow. I like the puppet minnow or the rattling puppet minnow, but they'll smack that stuff in cold water, no problem.
Oh yeah, no, this is the time to do it. Like it's like the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the season is when like I will definitely use spoons and dead sticks and stuff like that. You know, like I'll have micro finesse presentations ready, but this is the time when I'm busting out the glide baits like the puppet minnow or even rattle baits and stuff like that. Like a lot of people think rattle baits are only for fishing up in Canada or Lake Winnipeg or whatever. But this very early ice bite like this, I mean, you can get them on aggressive presentations and, that's why early ice is awesome. You get to use bigger baits and be a little more bold with your presentation.
Any particular type key areas you like to look for early in the ice season like that?
Basically, I'm trying to get to the closest available, feature, if that makes sense. So that could be a rock pile, could be a weed bed, it could be the first break or anything like that. Usually on first ice and there's not a lot of ice, I'm just trying to get out to anything that I can. And walleyes will be on all of that stuff more often than not. So like if I'm sneaking out on Gull Lake, you know, if you can just barely get out to that weed line, that's where you got to get. And sometimes that's where forward facing sonar can come in handy because you can drop that down, spin it around and figure out exactly where that weed line is, or maybe exactly where like an inside corner is, in the weeds, or maybe like a patch, or the opposite of a patch, like an opening in the weeds. Because sometimes that can be a real, those like openings in weed beds can be really good places to set up. And there'll be a lot of walleyes moving through those areas. So, but that being said, you don't need forward facing sonar to find the weed line. You know, no. You just might have to drill a couple more holes. So,
yeah.
But yeah, those are kind of the types of areas I'm usually looking for.
Yeah, basically you're looking for some type of cover on some structure. And, you know, I always used to like to say that, you know, if you're looking for a bunch of people, you look where there's a bunch of houses, you know, in a town. You don't look out in the middle of nowhere. So fish are the same way. They've got to relate to some kind of a cover to hold to, some kind of structure to be there.
Yeah, definitely. No, and, you know, some of those areas, if it's weeds, like, there might be more oxygen in those areas, and there's certainly going to be more bait fish wherever there's cover, you know, and cover basically being weeds or wood or rock. So, you know, I think structure is very great, but I'll usually go for cover first.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thought with it.
I know you do a lot of stuff, filming and stuff for Northland Tackle, and they got some great products. They got a few new things out this year, too, that guy might want to think about, right?
Yeah. I mean, they've been really super aggressive with just coming out with a bunch of stuff. And, man, it's like they just keep hitting, too, you know? Like, you look at different companies and you know, even Northland at different points in time, and you know, they have some products that are discontinued now, but it seems like, you know, sometimes companies miss and it is what it is, but it just seems like these last few years, Northland just keeps on hitting, and they've got some really good stuff. And I mean, it's kind of, it's sort of like there's a reason why they're one of the hottest companies like in the walleye world right now, is because they just keep on coming out with really cool baits. So yeah, like, so they redid all their glow paint, which, you know, it was good before, but now it's like the best glow paint I've seen. Like, it just glows super bright and a lot longer, especially once you hit it with the UV light. But in addition to that, like, they've got the flat fry jig that they just came out with, which to me is just like the way they built it is perfect for, well, I guess just pan fishing in general, but, you know, with meat or whatever you want to do. But if you like to use plastics, like, it's perfect for that. Just the way the hook is shaped and the head is shaped, and then the shape of the head is also kind of designed specifically for a better ping back on your sonar. So that's a really cool one. And then, yeah, actually one that came out last year, the glass buckshot, I'm sure a lot of people have used it or know about it by now, but it's just blown my mind how effective that bait has been. So that's been another really good one too. And that's kind of any species, but especially for walleyes and, you know, bigger crappies and stuff.
You bet. Lots of interesting things there, Nick. You know, I'm going to have to get you over this way fishing once in a while. I know, you know, your dad used to come over here a bunch with Al and Ron and them guys in there every spring. They'd all get together over here and fish some of the waters over here.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's crazy fisheries over there. I mean, there's a reason why it's kind of like a storied area, and you know, why people like to travel up there and fish, because it's good, you know? So, yeah, I really want to make it out there. I keep telling myself I'm going to, and, you know, I keep not making it over there. And I end up in different places sometimes because my buddies are going other places. It's kind of how it goes, so.
Well, you're welcome over here. Anytime we get together, we get out. Anyway, I want to thank you very much for coming on here, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for calling me up and wanting to chat.
And we'll get you back on here again this winter talking ice fishing.
Right on. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.